Take your Bible and turn to Psalm chapter 40. Psalm chapter number 40. Psalm chapter 40. Once you find it, I want you to find verse number 1 and then stand with me if you will, please, out of reverence and respect to the Word of God. Psalm chapter 40. We're going to start with verse number 1. The Bible says this, Psalm 40, verse 1. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me, and I heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it, and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward, they cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. And let's pray. Father, bless the sermon. Help us, Lord, in a special way, control my thinking. You know, there are many things that are struggling in my mind to grasp my attention at this time. So I pray that you will just let me lock in to this sermon, and we would get accomplished in the next short time exactly what you created this hour to accomplish. Spirit of God, control my thinking, control our listening, and help someone to realize what a merciful God you are, and that mercy has attached to it responsibility. Bless us with thy presence, please, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may have a seat there. Folks, whether you know it or not, you're alive this morning because of God's mercy. You may not have thought about this lately, but it could have been that you could have been taken off the face of this earth one day this week. And we don't think that. We don't think about that. On the evening of June the 17th of this year, just a few weeks ago, a mass shooting took place at an Episcopal church in downtown Charleston, South Carolina. During a prayer service, 9 people were killed by a gunman, including the pastor. A 10th victim survived that shooting. The morning after the attack, the police arrested the suspect, a 21-year-old man. They arrested him in Shelby, North Carolina, and he confessed to the shooting. You realize that could have been our church. That could have been you that was shot to death. Life is frail. And we lose track of the fact that, like that, it can be gone. Stay with me, if you will. Psalm chapter 40, which we just read, is a wonderful passage of Scripture. It said in verse 2, he brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. Here, God said, we were lost, unsaved, and we found ourselves in a horrible pit. Well, it was a pit where our sin had placed us. In that pit, there's darkness and loneliness and hopelessness and confusion. And he brought us out of that horrible pit. And it said here, he brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, that dirtiness, that slipperiness. You know, when you don't have the Lord, there is a certain amount of darkness that's in your life. And then even when you try to climb out of it, it's as slick as it could be. And you take a couple steps forward and life hits you and you end up falling backward again. And he said, but I saved you and I put your feet upon a rock. In other words, God comes along and he stabilizes us. He brings some balance to our life. Then he said, he established my goings. In other words, I was in a pit, and it was slick, and it was dark, and it was lonely. And I tried to climb my way out of it, but it was so slick, I couldn't get myself out. So God, he picked me up, as the song we just heard. He reached way down, and he grabbed a hold of me, And he placed me upon a rock. That rock is Jesus Christ. And then he gave me a direction for my life. Now, verse 3 says, and he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. There's a new song. What happened? He saved me. Now he's starting to rebuild me. Oh, and I'll tell you, this verse also teaches that when you get saved, you're probably going to have new direction about your music too. He put a new song in my mouth. I have something new to sing. I have something new to play. I have something new to listen to. And it actually says, even praise to our God. Do you know what? This person, they were in a pit. God saved them, placed them on a rock. And now their life is changing, their music's changing, and it says here he's going to praise God. In other words, he's letting people know he's been salvaged. He said, I'm going to praise God about this. I'm going to let people know I was in a pit. He did reach way down and save me. He has been changing my life. I know he saved my soul. Then it says, and many shall see it. In other words, people are going to see the changes that are taking place in my life. And it's not just an inside change. People can't see an inside change. Did you know that? They are seeing the change. There's an inside change that brings an outside change. And it says, and people are going to fear as a result of it. Listen to the verse. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. You know, your old friends are going to see the change of life. Your family's going to see that God has placed you upon a rock, given you a new song, rebuilding your life. You're testifying that I was a mess, but God salvaged me, and they're going to fear. You say, what does that mean? They're going to learn to respect God and the saving power of Jesus Christ. Your godliness then points them toward God. And the Bible says, and shall trust in the Lord. I really believe this. I think there are weak Christians that will watch you do right, that will trust in the Lord because of your example, and there are lost people that could be influenced because you get saved, you start changing your life, and they then fear God, and they learn to trust God because of your example. Somebody was in a pit, though. Somebody needed to be spared. I was thinking of that church in Charleston, South Carolina. One person that was in that building survived, according to the press. I would say to them today, God spared you to use you. God spared that person to use that person. Did you know that God spared you to use you? You didn't die in that shooting. I guess you got spared too, didn't you? God spared you because he has a plan for your life. God spared you for a reason. God spared you for a purpose. God has a purpose for your life, and it's to be fulfilled. I believe God spared you for something big. Did you know that the will of God for my life is no bigger than the will of God for your life? You say, but Brother Owens, you're the pastor. Oh, my being the pastor does not mean that God had a plan for my life and he didn't have one for everybody else's. No, everybody here. God has a plan for your life. And God spared you. Hey, and sometimes I think we get confused. Did you know that God spares us not just for us, but for himself? God spared you to help you to become a part of his work and to do something good with your life. God spared your life. And it's not all about you and yours. It's all about him and his. God spared you to use you. God spared you to help someone. The God of the universe has a spiritual purpose for your life. You're not just to survive this world. You're to do your part in helping this world get closer to God, helping people to get their eyes on God. But did you know you were spared? You were spared. God spared your soul. If you're here today and you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you were dead in your sins. And you've been spared from a place called hell. Say, why? God spared you from hell for a purpose. You say, yeah, I'm not going to burn. More than that. God spared you to use you. The apostles, Jesus comes to them. He had been crucified, buried, resurrected, and he says this in Mark 16:15. He said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Do you know Jesus? His life had been taken, but the apostles' lives had not been taken. So what happened? Jesus said, "I'm leaving you guys here because now I have something for you to do." They're going to kill somebody that believes in Jehovah God. Who did they kill? They killed Jesus. And then he turned around and said to them, "You are being spared for a purpose. Now you guys go do why I left you behind." Hey, did you know something? God saved you, which means he spared you from hell, and he spared you for a reason. He gave them the reason to go reach other people. Now, you know what's sad? The average Christian in America today, God came along and said, "You're going to go to heaven or you're going to go to hell. Which one do you want?" And we say, "I'll take heaven. That makes total sense to me." We take heaven and then say, "No, I don't want any of the rest of it." God didn't just save you to keep you out of hell. God saved you and kept you on this earth to make a difference while you're here. God saved you to use you. God spared you so that you could help us get other people spared. Why didn't God just save you and then take you to heaven right away? You think he left you behind to eat Big Macs? Although, Big Macs are good. You think God just left you behind so you could eat Twinkies? They'll be in heaven. Say, how do you know? Well, they ain't going anywhere, that's for sure. Twinkies are spiritual. They have eternal life. You think God saved you just to suck up some soda or pop and eat potato chips and just go ahead and live your life? God saved you. He spared you to use you so you could win other souls to Jesus Christ. I see in the Bible that God spared a crazy man. You say, what for? He wanted to use him. His name was the maniac of Gadara. Listen, Mark chapter 5, verse 3 and 5, it says, "Who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains." This is a crazy man. He was a wild man. And the Bible says that one day this wild man, he meets Jesus and he gets saved. And it says then, it says that the next thing you know, they found this man clothed and in his right mind, sitting at the feet of Jesus. And then in the very same passage of Scripture, in verse 19 and 20, it says, "Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, Go home to thy friends, and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel." You know what happened? This was a crazy man. He was a wild man. And Jesus saved the wild man, helped to get him straightened out. He said, "Now, I salvaged you, I saved you, now go tell somebody what God's done for you." And the Bible says, this crazy man, he told it all over Decapolis, and everybody marveled. You know what they said? That guy was nuts! That guy was crazy! And he met Jesus, and he got born again. You know something? There may be sitting under the sound of my voice today, somebody that you were just half crazy when you got saved. You say, what kind of crazy are you talking about? You were a druggie. Yeah, hey, you ever, the drug culture and the party world, you know what they'll say about somebody that's getting high and everything? Man, they're crazy. You know, they call it getting what? Getting crazy. You used to be a partier. You used to be a druggie. Unpredictable. You used to be a drunk, out of control. You used to be a vicious bully. I'm talking about some of the crazy stuff of life. The rage, the temper. I've preached where there were gang members, and I'm talking about men that were members of terrible street gangs, and I would say to them, "Get saved," and you're talking about some pretty rough people, and they would say, "Man, I was half crazy. I was half crazy. You don't always know who it is that's walking through these doors. Now they carry a Bible, and now they have some dignity, and now they have something new about their life. But you know, God every once in a while reaches way down and grabs a hold of somebody that's just half crazy. They're nuts in the world. They're nuts on their drugs and their alcohol and all the filth of this life. Hey, and guilty of weird things and guilty. Hey, almost like there's something demonic about them, and God saved them. Let me tell you something. If that is the life from which God saved you, He spared you to use you. That's what He did with the maniac of Gadara. This guy was, he was nuts. Howling at the moon. Running naked. The Bible says. What happened? He got saved. God spared the crazy man to use the crazy man. God spared your soul when He saved you. What for? To use you. God spared you from your past life of craziness, the partying, and the stupidity. What did He say? What? Why? To use you. God spared the immoral. You say, what for? To use them. There's a story of a woman at a well. For all practical purposes, she was a harlot or a whore. John chapter 4, verse 15 through 18, it says, there's a conversation going on here. Jesus said, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. And that sayest thou truly. The woman said unto him, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. You know what happens? Jesus having a conversation with a woman who's been married, we think, five times, which means there was all sorts of other illicit, immoral relationships that had been in her life. And Jesus said, look, lady, I know who you are. I know how much you've slept around. I know how immoral you have been. She said, you are a prophet. And the Bible tells us this lady gets saved. You know what happened? In verse number 28 of the very same chapter, she went her way into the city and told everybody, I met this guy. And I'll tell you what, you all know who I am and what I was. I met this guy that just told me all about myself, and he saved me. And the Bible says in verse 30, then they that went out of the city came unto them. You know what happened? This woman was wild, immoral. She was terrible when it came to morality. Jesus saved her. She started telling everybody what He had done. They all said, we're going to go see this Jesus that could save the whore. God saved her. To do what? To use her. Now listen. The Bible clearly teaches you're not to have a sexual relationship with people outside of marriage. That means if you're not married, you shouldn't be having a sexual relationship. If you are married, it shouldn't be with anybody except for your spouse. So, you had sex outside of marriage. And you didn't get pregnant. God spared you. He spared you. And some of you know the fear of wondering if you did make the mistake that would produce a child. Let me tell you something. God spared you to use you. Some of you just take advantage of that mercy over and over again, don't you? Well, it'll catch up to you. Did God spare you? Do you know how you'll end up with some sort of a disease? You just run around immorally if you want to. So I haven't got a disease yet. I guess God spared you, didn't He? It is way too quiet in here for a moral church. Listen, some of you have been caught up sexual perversion in your past. It's a good thing that you're not in jail because of it. I know a lot of people went down paths of pornography and all sorts of filth and ended up in an awful lot of deep, dark, nasty, filthy, vile, sinful situations. But God spared you. Now you're in church. He spared you to use you. And some of you need to realize, you know, you could have married some wicked, evil person that would never let you come to church. I guess God must have spared you. Huh. Was your youth full of fornication and wild living, but God spared you somehow? But I think you need to understand something. If God spared you, He spared you to use you. For some of you right now, this whole sermon is all about you sleeping with people you should not be sleeping with. But that's not what this sermon's about. You're just under such deep conviction, a little sidebar in my sermon, you don't know what to do with yourself right now. And I guess that's God's way of doing things. So if you're under conviction, I didn't intend it that way. I'm just telling you, God spares a lot of people. God spared us by saving our souls so we don't have to go to hell, but He spared us to use us. God comes along and He spares crazy people that party and go wild. He saves them and He spares them. And for what purpose? So that He might use them. God comes along and, folks, if you've ever seen the mercy of God in regard to your immorality, if you've ever seen the mercy of God in regard to your adultery or your fornication or you're not pregnant out of wedlock or you don't have AIDS, let me tell you something. God spared you because He was trying to be merciful to you, hoping that you would catch on as to what He is doing for you in hopes that you would get in line with God and that God might use you. That's why He spared you. He didn't spare you so you could continue to sleep around. God did not spare you of that pregnancy out of wedlock so you could keep fiddling around and say, I guess it doesn't bother God. It bothers God. And it ought to bother you. God spared your life. You say, why? So He could use you. Yeah, there's a guy in the Bible by the name of Lazarus. What a testimony. Not very many people get to do what Lazarus did at testimony time. Lazarus was dead. I mean, D-E-A-D, dead. Doorknob dead. The Bible says in John 11:14, then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. He said it plainly. You say, why do you say it plainly? Because He wanted it plain. Then when Jesus came, He found that he had been laying in his grave for 4 days already. Plainly dead for 4 days. Plainly dead for 4 days. Stinky dead. The Bible says that Jesus gave Lazarus back his life. When he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead, plainly dead, came forth, bound hand and foot, with grave clothes. Huh. Here's somebody whose life could have been gone. Physical life. But God spared him. Say, what for? To use him. Can I tell you how we could have a sellout crowd at homecoming? If one of you would die. If one of you would die. And we could bring you back from the grave. And then tell everybody you're going to be there to testify on homecoming. I'm going to guess somebody's going to come. And Carrie's saying it could be Michael. We could try. Can you imagine the next church service? Everybody said, did you hear what happened? Jesus healed Lazarus, and Lazarus has given his testimony at church night. I'm going to guarantee you they had a sellout crowd. God spared that man's life. Say, what for? To use him. There are people in this room. You're in the military. Your friend didn't make it. God spared you. Why? To use you. You know how many people die? But you didn't? The shootings in our town, but not you. God spared you. Why? To use you. I was somewhere where I shouldn't have been. I was a 16-year-old boy. I was in my car. A buddy of mine by the name of Tim was in his and he was in his car. No, I didn't have my car with me. I'd gone with somebody else. a bunch of guys standing in a parking lot. It was about midnight. Shouldn't have been out. It was past my curfew. My parents were disgusted when I got home. But when I was on my way home, it was time to go. And we're all in the parking lot. Tim had been drinking. And he said, "I'll take you home, Owens." I do not have any idea how I did not end up in his car. But I ended up in another car. About 30 minutes later, we pulled out of the parking lot. Tim pulled out in front of us. We came up to the ambulances. We came up to the police cars. I looked up and I said, "That's Tim's car." Tim had been decapitated. He was drinking and driving, and it killed him and everybody in the car. I was this close to climbing in the back seat of that car riding home. You know something? God spared me. God spared me. You remember the close calls with the car? Do you remember them? Your car? Remember the close calls that could have killed you? God spared you. What for? To use you. Hey, God spared your health. Say what for? To use you. There's a story of Peter's mother-in-law. By the way, that's why Peter couldn't have been the first pope. He had a mother-in-law. Matthew chapter 8, verse 14 says, "And when Jesus was come unto Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever." Here, Peter's mother-in-law is sick with a fever. The Bible says in verse 15, "And he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto them." God spared her life. She was dying from a fever. God came along and healed her so she did not die from her sickness. And then, what did she do? She ministered unto them. She testified. God spared her. What for? To use her. How about you? You almost drowned. But God spared you. What for? To use you. I wonder how many times God has spared you your health to where you could live a heart attack. Did God spare you? If God spared you, He spared you to use you. A stroke? If God spared you, He spared you to use you. They thought you were going to bleed to death. They couldn't figure out the internal bleeding. What happened? God spared you. God spared you to use you. Did you have a surgery mishap? But you lived. And God spared you to use you. How many people here have ever found yourself choking and you knew it was serious? I know I have. You knew as you were choking, this wasn't a simple thing. But you know what? It got dislodged, didn't it? You coughed it out. You made it. God spared you to use you. How about the accident at work? How close was it? You could have been crushed. You could have been destroyed. But God spared you. What for? To use you. You were worried about what that disease. You knew in your body there was something crippling. And I'm not talking about the immoral part of things. I'm talking about just life. That disease. And they told you it could be this or it could be that. And terror struck your heart. But God spared you. But He spared you to use you. What was your brush with death? Was it on an airplane? Was it as you walked down the street? Was it at work? Was it at school? Where was your brush with death? But we've all had them. And God spared you. But God spared you to use you. Look, folks, you understand that on June 17th, a gunman walked in and opened fire on a group of people in a church and killed everybody but one. Well, I'll tell you, if I were that one, I'd think, I'm alive for a reason. But wait a minute, you are that one. You are. You've been spared from hell. Why? God wants to use you. There are people in this room, you used to be wild and crazy in life, and God spared you, and He spared you to use you. God spared your life and did not take your life to use you, and God spared your health. Why? To use you. God spared you from the wicked immorality that you had brought into your life and the temptations that you were bringing upon yourself, but God spared you. Why? To use you. Did God spare you as a child? In Exodus chapter 2, you find the story of a young boy by the name of Moses. Little Moses was destined to be put to death by the Pharaoh. In verse 2 and 3, we find out that they had said they were going to kill all children his age. Moses' mom puts Moses in a basket, and when you get to verse 5 and 6, you find out Moses is placed in a basket and shoved up the river while mom and dad are trying to save one little boy's life. And the story goes that Pharaoh's daughter finds Moses, and little baby Moses is spared. You do realize that there were little boys by the thousands that were not spared. God spared Moses. I think Moses found the purpose for his being spared. God spared Moses, and Moses rose up and he did something great with his life. Moses said, you know something? I could be dead right now. I could have been fed to the alligators. I could have died from that had come upon me, but God spared me. And I'm not just going to live my life and do whatever I want with it. God spared me to use me. God, what do you want from me? You spared me as a little boy. Were you born as a premature birth? They call it a preemie. There are people sitting in this room. You are a preemie. You could have died. But God spared you. You could have been aborted. Little ones are being aborted by the millions. But you weren't. God spared you. Our son Joshua was born, and when he was born, he began losing weight. Look right at me. When Joshua was born, he began losing weight, and he lost weight, and he lost weight. And they told us, they said, boy, this is not good. This is serious. We really thought that our son, we'd lose him there in the hospital right after birth. I am so glad that God spared him. You say, why would God spare a child to use a child? You young people, some of you would be considered miracle babies. There are people in here. Your mother thought she would never have a child. Your father thought he would never have a child. God gave you life. Why? We spared you and gave you life because he wanted to use you. You young people, you think it's an accident that God allowed you to be born into a Christian home? Maybe you ought to wake up. Maybe you ought to realize you don't like your mom and dad. Well, maybe we ought to put you in a home where your dad will hurt you. Maybe we ought to put you in a home where your mother's a drunk. And never comes to church. And just so you know, God spared you. You ought to look up to God and say, God, I am so glad my mom and dad let me come to church, and I'm so glad my mom and dad will come to church with me. You have spared me, God. But just so you know, God just didn't spare you for you. God spared you to use you. There are some of you need to understand, you've been spared from going to jail. Do you know that in the Bible, Peter got thrown in jail? Now, he got thrown in jail for doing right, Acts chapter 12. Bible says, and because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then there were the days of unleavened bread, and when he had apprehended him, he put him into prison. Peter got thrown in jail, but you know something? God spared Peter from jail. You say, why? In verse number 7, they get him out of jail, but why? Because God wasn't done with him. God spared him from jail. What for? To use him. God had more work for him to do. Some of you will have a hard time with this, but let me explain something. You could have gone to jail for the illegal drugs. But God spared you.
You could have gone to jail for the DWI. Lots of people do. But God spared you. You stole. You could have gone to jail for stealing. God spared you. You could have gone to jail. What was it? Domestic abuse? Public intoxication? The misuse or inappropriate use of a firearm? Maybe a false accusation? Contempt of court? Tax evasion? But God spared you. What for? So you could go do it more? Some of you misunderstand the mercy of God. He's not being merciful because He approves of your immorality. He's not being merciful because He approves of your non-giving to Christ. I'm sorry. His mercy is not an approval of your misbehavior. His mercy is a desire to get you to realize you could have gone to hell, you could have died, you could have rotted away, you could have been put in jail. And He said, you know what? I'm going to bail you out. Have you taken a moment to say, God, why didn't I end up pregnant out of wedlock? Why didn't I end up causing a pregnancy out of wedlock? Well, God, why didn't I end up in jail? Well, He'd turn back and say, as I bailed you out because I wanted to use you. God spared the Philippian jailer from suicide. Say, what for? He wanted to use him. Acts chapter 16, verse number 27. Philippian jailer was watching out for prisoners, and God was taking the prisoners out of jail, and the jailer said, I'm going to kill myself. And the prisoner said, no, don't do that. And the jailer said, okay. And the jailer gets saved instead of killing himself. You say, why? God wanted to use him. And the Bible teaches that everybody that heard the testimony of the Philippian jailer that night got saved. Did you try to commit suicide? But you failed. You know what? God spared you to use you. And look right at me. Far more people in the depths of despair give consideration to ending their own life than what they'll admit publicly. I've been doing what I do for a long time. Sometimes they're just so disappointed in themselves, or life, or hurts. Say, I'd rather be dead. God spared you. God spared your life from you. You say, why? To use you. Young lady, my wife and I were helping in the early part of our ministry as youth directors. Her name was Sandy. Her parents had given her up and her grandparents were raising her. They didn't know what they were doing. She was as wild as she could be. We'd been trying to help her in the church. Her grandfather died, which sent her into a total tailspin. I remember one night my wife and I were lying in bed and I heard someone talking through the big window fan. It was her. I thought at first it was a ghost. It was her. She was drunk outside our window. She's about 15, 16 years of age. We tried to talk to her about her drink and she began to cry. She said, you don't understand. My mom and dad forsook me when I was little and dumped me at my grandparents' and walked off and left me. He said, they used to give me beer in my bottle with a nipple on it. I'm talking about when I was a baby, they'd give me a bottle, and I was 18 months, 2 years of age, and I was drinking beer with everybody else, stammering around, and I was the entertainment for everybody at our house. She said, I've had these problems all these years. When her grandfather passed away, was the only anchor left in her life. She tried to kill herself. She got herself high. She took a bunch of pills, got herself high, breathing hairspray, cut her wrists, and threw herself off of a train bridge onto oncoming traffic. God spared her. I can remember her standing and testifying in the youth department later on about what God had done in her life and the victory that God had given her. She went from being the bus kid, if you will, that had tried to kill herself, that was wild and crazy, to working her Bible the quickest and winning all the Bible drills in the youth department. You know what? God spared her to use her. One night I took a .38 special away from a woman that was going to shoot herself. I had to talk the gun out of her hand.
taking a razor blade away from one and pills away from another. People say, I'm going to kill myself. You know, so I'll tell you all something. Again, more people have contemplated than have actually done it. But might I say, God spared you to use you. I'm almost finished. But can I ask you a question? From what have you been spared? Have you thought about it? Or some of you say, "Boy, I'm glad I'm not like my dad." Or, "Boy, I'm glad I'm not like my grandma and grandpa." God spared you, didn't He? Say, "Boy, my friends in high school, let me tell you, phew, God spared you. God spared you." Huh. Okay, here's the personal question. Are you fulfilling the purpose for which God spared you? Now, the weakest of you were spared, thinking it's okay just to go ahead and keep doing what you want. No, that God does not spare you from the consequence of your wickedness, approving your wickedness. The Bible says, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? What He's saying is, knock it off. My saving you and giving you the security of the believer was not so you could go ahead and live any way you want and just keep on being nasty. He said, you're not supposed to be living that way. But are you fulfilling the purpose for which you were spared? God kept you out of hell. What for? So you can become a part of the workforce that will keep other people out of hell. Are you keeping anybody out of hell? God spared you in regard to your immorality. You say, why? Well, maybe He wanted you to become a champion for morality. You helping anybody stay moral? God spared your life and didn't take your life. You were sick, you could have died. When's the last time you went to the hospital and visited someone and told them about Jesus? You think God spared you just because He wanted to spare somebody? He has a purpose in everything that He does. Hey, let me ask you this. Should He spare you again? Was it a good investment first time? Can you remember the time when you were really sweating it? Like, oh, you're freaked out about what are the consequences going to be? What's the result going to be? God spared you. What have you done about it since? If God were to right now say, you know something, the very same thing's going to come upon them again, should I spare them again? Based on past performance? Or are you fighting against the one that spared you? You pushing him to the limit? Have you become the enemy of your rescuer? I've got good news for you. God spared Jesus to use him to save your soul. You know, they tried to kill all the babies when Jesus was born. But God spared Jesus. Remember the story of Herod, and they were trying to find Jesus, the wise men, and he said, hey, tell me where Jesus is. I'll go worship him too. But that was not his intent. His intent was to have Jesus put to death. God spared Jesus. You say, what for? So he could become your Savior. I guess he fulfilled the purpose of his sparing, didn't he? Jesus was spared from that death as a child so he could grow up and live a sinless life for 33 and a half years so he could become the Savior of the world. Then he would die, be buried, and resurrected. Jesus was spared. What for? So he could save you. I guess he fulfilled the purpose of his sparing. I believe there's been more than one occasion in my life when I was spared. I was kidnapped when I was a child, but miraculously set free. Man that kidnapped me went to prison. I was spared. When I was a 16-year-old boy, God called me to preach, and I said, there's a reason why I'm alive. I've been spared. Some of you need to realize you're living on borrowed time. You say, that's scary. That's reality. the lost live oblivious to God, God's intent, and God's purpose. We're not to live that way. God spared you to use you. Should He spare you again? If you're not saved today, there's one reason why you're alive. Because God was merciful enough to keep you alive long enough for someone to tell you about Jesus Christ. He spared you. You say, what? What for? To save you. Say, ah, phooey with that. Well, then tomorrow could be a rough day for you. If God's kept you alive to this point for one primary purpose, for you to come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, you say, well, I stumbled in here by accident. Well, it may have been an accident to you, but you're in a church that happens to believe that Jesus Christ is a Savior. And His death, burial, and resurrection makes it so that you can go to heaven someday when you die. And it may just be that God's kept you alive to this point so you could trust Jesus Christ as your Savior at this point in your life. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about being born again as a Christian. Being a born again, saved Christian. Letting that happen to you. For some of you, you're just so miserable about some of the sins that weren't even the point of my sermon. You just don't know what to do with yourself right now. Well, you might want to reconsider how you're living then. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. First question is this: if you died tonight, do you know for a fact you'd go to heaven? If you died right now, do you know for a fact you'd go to heaven? You say, I don't know that. You need to trust Jesus as your Savior. God's kept you alive to this point so that the gospel might be presented to you. He spared you. Why? He wants to save you. Are you saved? Is there anybody here that would say, I need to be born again. I'm not saved. Pray for me, Pastor. I need to be born again. If you'll raise your hand and say that, I'll pray for you. Say, I'm not born again. I'm not saved. If I died today, I don't know for a fact I'd go to heaven. Who here would say, I'm saved. I'm not going to lie to myself. I'm not going to lie in church. I'm going to lie before God. I'm saved and I know it. Would you raise your hand and let God see it? Well, God bless you. God bless you. You may put your hands down. God spared you to use you. Should He spare you again? You know what would be terrible? If there's someone in here practicing immorality and you heard a sermon just like this and I warned you, why should He show mercy again? If the very next time you're immoral, you end up with AIDS or you end up with a pregnancy out of wedlock when the pastor pointedly, and by the way, whether you think so or not, lovingly has warned you, you end up in a lot of trouble because of it, because God was trying to spare you. He said, I just won't come back to this church. This sermon will go with you. I've had a lot of people, when I told them the truth, they said, I don't want to hear it. Yeah, I don't want to hear the truth. I've not said anything that's wrong. If you need the altar today, some of you ought to just say, you know what? God did spare me, and I want to find out what God needs of my life. I'm going to serve Him the way He wants me to serve Him because He spared me for a purpose. I'll ask the pianist to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. If you need a moment at the altar, you come. Some of you who have been spared and you know you've been spared, you ought to take a second and say, thank you, God. I remember when you spared me. I know the life you spared me from. I know the place from which I was spared. I know the messes from which I was spared. I know the addictions. I know the past. I know the hell from which I have been spared. And I don't want to miss the purpose of you sparing me. Some of you were sick unto death, but God spared you. And I'll say to everyone that's felt the extra tinge of conviction, I love you and I am your friend. I do not preach solid, hard truth to hurt you. I'm trying to help you. God spared you to use you. God spared the maniac of Gadara to use him. God spared the woman by the well to use her. God spared Lazarus from death to use him. God healed Peter's mother-in-law to use her. God spared Peter from jail because God had something He wanted Peter to do. God spared the Philippian jailer that He might use the Philippian jailer. God spared you to use you. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it, and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. You know what that's all about? God reached down and spared somebody and placed them upon a rock and salvaged their life. He said, now you change your life, and don't you ever forget what I did for you, how my mercy and my kindness and my loving patience pulled you out of the messes that you put yourself in, and you go serve me. Don't you take advantage of my mercy and my grace. You serve me with your heart. God spared you to use you. This is the last time through the song. And everyone look at me if you